Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones too. We're both of McFlugel.com and today is October 3rd, 2016. So as usual, we're going to have Slappy start us off with the topic we're going to have tonight.
Well, thanks Rollo. Thanks for everyone for being here. So what we're going to talk about today is something I see on Facebook all the time. Last couple days, I like to browse around, see what people who aren't in my little libertarian bubble, what they're thinking on politics and different issues. And I see a lot of Gary Johnson talk. Now, if any of you are reading our blog, you've probably assumed we're not the biggest Gary Johnson fans. But nonetheless, I think it's good people are talking about a libertarian candidate. One of the best parts for me is reading the comments of articles. You get to see how people are thinking. And so people will comment underneath. And almost every time I see someone say something like, you know, libertarianism sounds great on paper, but they're too naive to think that businessmen would act in good faith or altruistically or be good citizens if you just got rid of the government. So, you know, the obvious argument there is businessmen are bad and greedy and want to screw you, and we need the government to protect them. But what's nice about the argument is that they're not actually arguing against libertarianism. They're just saying that won't work. But it is a valid point. Or a good point to consider if you're not libertarian or if you've never heard these ideas. That's probably your natural reaction. So, Rollo, what do you think? Are businessmen and society in general too bad to exist on its own? Do we need government to rein them in and make sure everyone is being nice to each other and treating each other fairly?
Well, if someone came to me with that response to libertarianism and allowing markets to work unfettered, first thing I would do is send them a link to our episode from last week where you talked about the cigar industry and how that works pretty well.
Magically works, yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's – I don't think that at all. I don't think that people are all necessarily angels and everything, and I don't – I guess they don't look past the idea. They say, well, people are too greedy to work without government. So does that mean that somehow, since the government's involved in the market, that it magically or somehow makes people not greedy and selfish and want to get over on you? And also, doesn't the existence of the state, which is regulating and controlling the market, create an opportunity for some businessmen, the more powerful, wealthier ones, to have an opportunity to buy them with lobbyists and you know, make sure the regulations work in favor of them?
Well, let me just interject there real quick or interrupt. Maybe we should make lobbying illegal and just have the government set price control so that you're not like the EpiPen debacle where they're charging these kids $600 and we just let them do it. There's no regulation in medicine. That's sarcastic, obviously. But seriously, people will come back and say that. That's why, and you often hear people argue, we have to get rid of the lobbyists. Just the lobbyists are the problem. The government is beholden to the lobbyists. We have to get rid of lobbyists.
Right. But, yeah, and I guess what they don't see is that, well, why is lobbyism such a big business? Because, one, the businesses who want to lobby get a lot of benefit out of it, and two, the people in government get a huge benefit for it because they're getting paid for it. So why would the government people within the government, you know, Congress and everyone else, decide that, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore because this very lucrative opportunity for me to gain a lot of wealth, let me just throw that away. There's really not, unless they're acting altruistically in government, then why would they do that? And what makes people who work in government angels compared to people who are working in business? That's the question that has to be answered by someone who makes, you know, that argument that we should just do away with lobbyism. Well, why would government even consider that?
Right, right. So, yeah, I mean, what I think is, look, this is why we don't need government, is because people are always acting in their own self-interest. So government isn't anything other than a collection of human beings, people acting. It's not something magical. It doesn't, if you got stranded on an island, you wouldn't send one guy to go find some wood and the other guy to go pick some berries and the third guy to find the government. It's just people. Government isn't something magical. It's not something that nicely controls things. Those are all humans acting in their self-interest. And so when you give them the ultimate power to pick winners and losers and give them tricky ways to do that, I think it's disastrous. And I think it would be better handled on the market, where you have voluntary interaction and where people don't want fraud. People don't want to be lied to. I think the market could come up with clever ways to protect consumers against that.
Well, it's already happened. You look at Yelp. You look at Amazon.com is a very good and useful rating system. That's, I know I do. I make a lot of purchases on Amazon, and I often sort by customer review, customer rating. And there's all sort of Angie's List. There's, I know we mentioned it before talking about an episode, but I remember there was, I hear a commercial on the radio sometimes about some business that goes out and figures out which comments are fraudulent for your online business, because that's what's important.
Right.
Is your reputation in a business, and businesses bend over backwards to make sure their customers are happy and feel like they're being treated fairly and justly. So that's the funny thing about a lot of these arguments that people make, is that they ignore everything that's already in existence right now. They say, well, how will I know who the best plumber is going to be in my town? How would I know that without the government? Government doesn't do that for you. They might give him a piece of paper that he buys that says, yes, I am a plumber, and I am. This is my permission slip to allow me to do work at your house. But that doesn't mean he's going to be any good. He might pass a test or something, but okay, you still don't only rely on that certification anymore. I don't know if plumbers need some government certification.
I'm sure they do.
But you wouldn't just say, oh, he's certified by the government? Oh, he must be good. I don't think there's really anyone to do that. You go by people that you know, people that you trust that's used them before, and if you don't have that opportunity, you go online and literally Google them, and you can find out probably what you need to know. And if you can't find anything on them, there's a good chance that you're not going to use them.
It's funny you mentioned plumbers and Angie's List. A couple months ago, a pipe burst in my garage. So I'm cleaning out my garage, and the neighbor comes over. Oh, everything okay? What happened? Explain what happened. This is the first time I've needed a plumber since I've moved to this house. So I asked if she knows a good plumber, and she goes, hold on a second. Let me go get Sylvia. She's got the Angie's List book. They're all good, which is a free market certification saying these people are good. They're in the Angie's List book. And so I did use someone from there, and he was good. He was polite, professional, on time. Get it done. Pretty cheap, too. You brought that example up. Another thing, I don't want to go off the rails too far, but licensing is a big thing that people think we need government for. And the industry I'm in, that I work in, is insurance, and life insurance specifically, disability, life and disability. And in order to sell life insurance, you have to have a license. You have to, take a course, pass a test, take continuing education credits, to redo your license every other year. But my job, I don't sell to the public, although I'm licensed to, but my job is to educate financial advisors, planners, P&C agents, your home and auto guys, when they have a life insurance case, to explain the products, to shop cases, to find the best fit for the client. And the reason that job exists is because the people who are licensed to sell it don't really know it that well. And that's what my job is. I do life insurance and disability all day, so I know the products inside and out, and I can teach these people, some of them who make a whole lot of money and do very well as advisors and planners, etc. But they just don't do life insurance all day. However, they are licensed. What does that license really mean? It means they paid their $169 to get it. And that's about it. It doesn't mean because you have a license that you know a thing about life insurance.
Yeah. So I have a question for you, Slappy. Because someone, I was discussing this kind of stuff with someone at work the other day, and they brought this question up. They said, now, what about a business like Walmart? Now, let's assume that, you know, they do get help from the government, typically, in reality. So let's assume that that doesn't happen. Let's assume this is in a free market.
Okay.
You know, our libertarian paradise is what we usually get accused of.
Yeah. Somalia.
Yeah. So Walmart comes into your town. They have cheap products. And so they're able to undercut the prices of all the other businesses in the town, the mom-and-pop shops.
Okay.
So they basically run all of their competition out of business. So once the competition's gone, they have all of the consumers in that town basically by the throat, and they can raise their prices back up.
Okay.
So what happens then? Are people, you know, you don't have the mom-and-pop shops anymore, and now you're forced to pay Walmart's high prices?
Are we, okay, well, yeah, so hypothetically in this libertarian paradise, does the internet exist?
Because, no, Al Gore created yes, that, so.
Exactly.
It wouldn't.
Creation. So if
there would also be no roads, by the way.
There's no roads, so there's nowhere to travel anyway, so no one can get to Walmart.
There's no nothing, because the world could not simply, sorry.
Go ahead. Well, what I would ask that person in seriousness is, has this ever happened? I'm presuming we have laws that, you know, some kind of antitrust laws that say you can't raise your prices or you can't lower your prices or you can't keep your prices the same, whatever they feel like calling it that day.
I mean, regardless of whether it's true or not, but I know that's a big complaint.
It is a big
about
complaint.
Walmart is what they do that. So I'll assume that it is true.
Well, we can talk about it. Sure. We can say, what if it actually happened? But okay, fine. So let's say it happened. They cut and every other store goes out of business. So you're fitting this town of whatever number of people, they're all doing their shopping there and they don't have a problem with long lines or anything else. It just works really well. I don't know what the problem is. Are you saying now they raise their prices really high?
Yeah, they're going to be forced to pay high prices.
Or like $10 for a banana or something.
Right.
Well, to me, if I lived in that town, I think I'd open up a shop and sell bananas maybe for half their price. Which would probably be fairly easy to do. There's a lot of unused capital from all the businesses going out, so there's probably low prices to rent those stores. I guess I'd have to find some suppliers for bananas, but if the Walmart's selling them for $10, I'm sure I could find them cheaper than $10 somewhere, and I would just open up a store and compete with them with market prices, or maybe even a little higher than market because Walmart's crushing everyone, but that'll force Walmart to bring the prices down, and it would force me to bring my prices down till we get to a market rate. And Walmart would have lost a lot of money when they were undercutting everything, and so they would not have been able to recoup those losses, I'm assuming, you know, with the high prices, because that would just bring more players into the market.
$10 for a banana. Who are you, Lucille Bluth?
Yeah, exactly.
But one of the other points, too, is that, and I know I kind of qualified this a little bit differently, but the way it is now, when has Walmart ever gone in, driven competition out, and then raised prices?
Right, that's what I was saying. Has it ever happened?
Right. I don't think they've ever done that. That's their bread and butter of their business, is that they have very low prices. Right. And because the vast majority of their consumer base are, you know, low to middle income people. So, you know, you just look at basic economics. If you raise the prices up too much, the example I give is, you know, Girl Scouts selling Girl Scout cookies, and you tell the girls, all right, you can charge whatever you want for your box of cookies. Charge whatever you want. I'm sure there's going to be one or two girls that go out, so I'm going to charge $100 per box because I've got 20 boxes, and that's going to be $2,000 I'm going to come up with. And they're going to go do it, and obviously they're not going to sell any. So it's the same principle that applies here. You know, it's the law of demand. You charge more for a product, well, people are going to buy less of it. So this whole idea that, you know, you can charge whatever you want, people are going to buy it, You're going to buy, maybe they'll still buy it, but they're going to buy less of it, or they're not going to be able to buy other stuff. So it's not like
it's not beneficial to anyone.
Right. Looking at this with even, you know, an ounce of understanding of basic economics makes the question fall flat on its face.
Absolutely. But the truth is that's actually never happened. You can't find a single case of it happening that way.
Right.
Where someone cut the prices so low and then raised them up really high and people had nothing to do. When prices get high, the cure for high prices is high prices. As prices get higher, more players come in the market, more producers, the supply increases. And that brings the price back down.
Right. So also, too, because I'm not sure that if we were talking to someone, they would be satisfied with the answers that we've given so far. It's, you know, what about the bad, kind of nasty businessman? The one example I've been given is you're at a bar, and if you don't have, you know, licensing or some sort of permission from the government to open a bar, what's to prevent the bar owner from cutting the beer he sells with water or pee? I've been asked that. What if he starts filling his beer bottles with pee?
What would prevent him from doing that?
Yeah, without government. That he could just do whatever he could put whatever he wanted in a glass and sell it to you.
Well, I would probably not go there.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what, if you can't tell the difference between pee and beer, you're probably drinking Natty Light and you're probably not at a bar.
Well, yeah, I mean, what would prevent him from doing that is his reputation for one. That's also, I guess, what would you call that, fraud? Like poisoning someone? That's really bad.
Yeah. Well, even if he wasn't poisoning people bring that up too.
Just cutting it with water, right? Cutting it with water so he can buy a keg of whatever and sell twice as much of it for the same price.
Right.
Well, if it makes no difference in taste and people aren't saying, like, what's in this beer? Why am I drinking six when I normally drink three? That would seem to end up being a more expensive night than they're typically used to, and would probably go to a different bar where they can feel good after three beers instead of six.
Right. But also that would, if he is able to charge, you know, sell six beers and for the, what it normally costs him to sell three for, that also encourages other bars to open up in the area because he's making money hand over fist. Hey, why not? I'm going to open a bar across the street from him, start making some of the money he's doing, and then it's going to – he's got to compete now, so he's got to lower his prices. Well, what does he do? Does he start or he's got to improve his product to do something. So what does he do? Start cutting his beer more with more water, so now we're drinking 90% water?
Yeah, and I mean if you have someone trashed, I mean, it's probably better to give them water anyway.
That's true. So it's actually libertarianism is actually doing the world a favor by, you know, making sure people don't get too drunk.
Exactly.
So I don't know. Do you have any more closing remarks or anything for this? I think we.
Well, the one I'll wrap it up with just saying it used to bother me when people would say libertarians are too naive. Like, we never thought of that. Like, someone said, like, let's get rid of government because they tax you. And you're like, yeah, man, I hate my taxes. Let's get rid of them. That'll work great.
Right.
Like, most libertarians I know or talk to, most that I've talked to, I'm not going to say most because there's a whole lot of Gary Johnson voters. But they do a lot of thinking. They do a lot of reading. They've considered these scenarios. They've thought about what government actually is. And not what it's taught to us in fifth grade or whatever. And so it used to really bother me. It doesn't bother me anymore because I understand that's kind of, I guess, the logical next step. Like, all right, yeah, I had this discussion with this libertarian. Everything he said sounded great, but it's not going to work. We need government. So I think it's at least the first step toward libertarianism is to at least get to that point where you're like, it sounds great, but it won't work. And then you can start hopefully thinking about how it can work or how it might actually work and then what government actually is and what it really does. And so, no, I don't think libertarians are naive. I think actually the more naive person is the one who thinks elected officials care for you at all. or do anything for you at all to protect you or help you or otherwise. They're not there for you. They're there for their own self-interest, just like businessmen are. And that's why we need the market to control everything. We don't want to give someone a monopoly on control. So I hope that makes sense. I hope that made it clear.
Yeah, and I think if I can jump in real quick, you made a good point about saying that that could be the first step into someone's introduction into libertarianism. So that's why it's very important. And I know we were, kind of making fun of these arguments here, but it's very important to be patient and not be a jerk.
Yeah.
And I know that's difficult to do because, how many times we have to hear, well, how would you build the roads? But this might be someone's first introduction to libertarianism, and if you come across as a jerk, even though you might be a little bit justified and getting a little bit annoyed, it's not going to help you out. So it's better to just be patient. Go ahead.
The truth is we probably all felt that at one time. I mean, I know, I'm not going to say everyone did, but I know I did. But asking those questions and not having a satisfying answer is what led me here. So I try to be more understanding.
Exactly.
But anyway, thank you all for joining us.
Yes.
Check out McFlugel.com. Check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. Rallo, send us off.
Yeah, as Slappy just said, we're Rallo McFlugel and Slappy Jones at McFlugel.com. So be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Follow and like us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And be sure to tell other people about us. So with that, we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Tell your friends.